Well, if you just open the Bible, it'll probably fall to the where we'll be. You've been there so much. That page has probably got creases in it. And I want to read a verse that has nothing to do with the message this morning. As a matter of fact, the message this morning has to do with the mercy, the goodness and grace of the one that you read along with in Proverbs 8. I hope in that you heard Christ. You know, the Word of God is compared to a mirror. But there's not a one of you that goes and stands before a mirror in a dark room. Mirror is of no benefit unless light is there. The Word of God, it just is that. It's just the letter here. Letter killeth. Knowledge gained apart from the Spirit of God puffeth up. And you heard about pride. I hadn't kept up with, I know that yesterday countries united together to begin taking out Libya's aircraft and preventing them from flying. There was the Gulf War. There was and is going on today the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these, it's not the end. All these are the beginning of sorrow. It's not always going to be on foreign soils that America fights. It is going to be here also, the beginning of sorrows. Exodus 33, same place as last week. With a verse or two that I have paraphrased, but that I want you to look at with me this morning. And I hope you grow not weary, but that the Lord will make His face to shine and make the Word of God living to your soul. I believe, as far as human wisdom is concerned, that you could come to an end in the Scriptures. You can know them all. But I believe they are as infinite as God. If they are not that, how can you go back to the same verse a year later and get something new out of it? They are vast when the Spirit of God begins to open them. Would you pray with me again, please. Holy Father, the one thing we desire when speaking with Thee is a right heart, pure, because Thou hast made it that way, upright, sincere. We thank You, Father, that You have made a way that we as sinners, that which we always will be here, but You've made a way that we can approach, even draw nigh unto Thee. We do so in fear and in trembling. For Lord, we know that if justice was exacted upon us, we would not be here. Our eternal state would already have been determined. Our sins, if they were numbered, are more than the hairs of our head. And yet in Christ, we are without spot and blemish. And Holy Father, by Thy own works, we have His righteousness. And cling only to that. Thank You, Father, for the gathering here. I trust also that these hearts have been prepared to receive. I pray You to grant unction, liberty, direction, guidance by Thy Spirit, so that these dear souls could get beyond the words of the preacher and hear Thee. Lord, I didn't say this. I dare not even would think this if Thou had not said it. He that heareth You, He told the disciples, heareth Me. Lord, it takes a great work of Thee to make that true in hearts here. Everyone dare stand and say, God sent me. Oh, Father, outside the teachings of the Spirit of God, that would be the height of hypocrisy. Let these hear. Paul writes, and Paul stands and preaches, and he said, in the place of Jesus Christ, in Christ's stead, I beseech Thee, grant these hearing ears. Oh, my Father, it's pleasing to invade this place today and make us aware of the presence of God so that we might humble ourselves at thy feet and worship. Hear us now, for we ask it in Christ's name. We ask it for his name's sake, for thy glory, and the advancing of the kingdom of God in these hearts. Why, Lord Jesus, did you tell us to pray that thy kingdom might come? That is a fact. That will be. Though there be no man from here on that prays that, your kingdom shall come. But Lord, we ask that by your coming, you might prepare us in that kingdom. Hear us now, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And Moses heard the Lord say, I will do what thou hast spoken. Because he found grace, and because I know thee. And Moses dares go one step nearer to God. Okay, if you're going to do that for me, I got another request. Verse number 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. One thing I tried to set before you last week was a lack of beauty, a lack in his outward appearance of that which would attract any person. He was without form, a root out of dry ground, a branch tender before God. Had no form, had no comeliness. And when we see him, there was no beauty, nothing about him. He wasn't that lovely little child, that handsome young man. No beauty that we should desire him. As a matter of fact, when we looked at him hanging on the cross, he was a common criminal. We knew that the ones on each side of him were there for crimes against society. This man was there for a crime against God. He blasphemed. He made himself equal with God. And there was nothing about him, nothing, that gave any evidence in his appearance that that was God, Emmanuel, God in our midst. Nothing there. So Moses wants to see the glory of God. And folk, we know, I guarantee this to be a fact, that in everybody's mind here today, there's an image that you can't get out, brought about by paintings. If you're not careful, when you bow on your knees, you will be praying to that image in your mind. That's not God. That in no way represents God. You can't take a paintbrush and put on canvas God. But there's that image up here in every one of our heads because we've seen so many pictures of Jesus. And on the cross with a crown of thorns, and that's so misleading. They've got a few drops of blood running down his head. And when you think of thorns, you think of those that grow around here. Quarter of an inch, half an inch. But that's not the thorns that they use to plait the crown on his head. But like ice picks. About 3 inches, most of them 3 inches in length. And they brought them in. And we that still have fire, we have kindling. Something will burn of itself. And these thorns were like that. They'd use them to start the fires. So you can't picture Jesus on the cross. Everything about him was disfigured. Everything. He didn't come in the form that would attract anybody to him. But Moses said, "Show me thy glory." And God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And every child of God is going to come to the realization that it was God and only God that saved us. Most of us brought out of Arminian teachings and instructions. And there, we were taught that we had a part in our salvation. But we come to find out, before we ever saw God, God already was seeking us. And before we ever receive Christ, God already had given us that heart and that desire. And that the mercy and the goodness and the grace of God is at the disposal of God and is not in the hands of sinners. I'll be gracious and I'll show mercy to whom I choose. And Moses has witnessed the power of God on many occasions. But it has been that he has seen of God that is bringing him on and creating a greater desire within his heart to know God. Children, get away from this. One time God saved me,
And remember, I'll come into the concept that God is saving. Salvation's not a one-time act.
I quoted this, but I want you to read it with me, Hosea, right after the major prophets and then Daniel. It's the next book. If God saved you, God is saving you. I hope you grasp that. Hosea 6, verse number 3. If you don't put a little star or underline, at least grasp this in mind. Then shall we know Moses knew God. It was that knowledge that brought that desire in his heart. My heart panteth after God as a deer after a heart after the water brooks. Then shall we know. Can I stop there and tell you a dream? I don't put any stock or great weight in dreams, but this one got my attention. We'll be back Tuesday night. And my English teacher, Brother Holbert, handed the class 2 pages for our final exam. And we had to pass this to graduate. And I thought, there's nothing much there, it's just 2 pages. I'll go do some other stuff. So I left it on my desk and I went away to take care of some trivial, insignificant matters. And up in the day I saw one and then another. 3's all I saw. That walked up to his desk and they turned the paper in and there was a smile on their face. They would graduate. They had passed. And most everybody else was still there when I came back to the classroom and I sat down at my desk and I picked up my paper, filled out some on the first page and I looked at the last page and there wasn't but one sentence there and it said right thus and thus, and I knew there's no way I've got time to finish that. I didn't finish. I didn't graduate. Because I thought, I can do it. It won't take me long. And instead of taking up that which was needful at that time and doing it, I put it off. And I failed. If you don't finish, you've started. If you don't finish, if you get distracted,
and you get involved and you think you'll come back later and do this, you may find it's too late. If we follow on, that's because you know Him today. If you don't know Him today, there's no following on in you. If you don't know Him, if you do not know Him, then you can get by with religious deeds, which mean absolutely nothing. But if you know Him, you will be following on. If you know Him, there'll be a desire in your heart to run after Him. And God help us if God is only our Sunday God. I know you can't help with what you wake up with in mind every morning. And I grant you this, that 99 times out of 100 you wake up with material things on mind. And it's that you gotta get away from. Dare start the day, God have mercy, I've done it so much. But dare start the day without pursuing. Dare talk to other folk before you talk to God. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Now folk, the grand Baptist doctrine of eternal security that is in the scripture, it's there, it's plain, it's evident. Jesus said, they're in my hand and no man can pluck them out. But alongside that that's been neglected, was neglected all my lifetime in hearing is the fact that all that are in Christ's hands will be following on to know. And what you know, is a desire in your heart to follow on. I don't care if the sun doesn't come up. I don't care if storm clouds gather around you. I don't care the activity that your life is filled with. There's still in the depths of your soul a desire to go on to know God. Because His going forth is prepared as the morning. And He shall come unto us as the rain. You need rain. Some of you have not been able to plant some of your stuff yet because the ground's too wet. But you're going to get it in the ground and you're going to need rain to bring it up. And you're gonna need the latter rain to, when it starts earing, to bring it to the full ear. God said, I'll be that to you folk. You don't go out there and put seed in the ground and forget about them. You put them in the ground so you can go back and harvest them for something. And rain is compared multiple times in scripture to the Word of God, to God speaking. God said, I'll come as a rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. That's following on to know God. That's when you don't get to God, yet there is that desire that keeps moving in your soul. There's just something about a child of God that makes him want to know God. And here's a desire in every heart. Not in the spiritual minded. Wait a minute, that's all God's children. They're spiritually minded. You say, but I think about, well, I'm talking about life. There is a desire in every newborn child of God, of the young adults and of the aged men. There is that desire in their heart to run on to know the person of God. God said, I'm not going to set anything before you visibly, because you can't form God in your head. God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness, 2 Corinthians 4:6, hath shined in our hearts. Give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. I want to see thy glory, Lord. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You will know God. You're gonna know God by knowing my son. And you're gonna know my son for his goodness and his grace and his mercy. You tell me that there are people that know God and have experienced God's grace and goodness and mercy, that they are not pursuing after God.
We all, with open face, as beholding in a glass the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Beholding in a glass the glory of God, are changed from image to image. You gotta grow up, children. You gotta develop. The babes got to become young men. The young men have got to become fathers. And the fathers have got to become the aged men in Israel. It's not always going to be like this here. Changes will be made. I'm not always going to be here. I told my brother, pastor, I said, it's good that I do not have an assistant. I'd take months off. Luke chapter number 7. I have heard some folks say, that they knew love at first sight. I wouldn't argue with them. But it's not real. It's not deep. It's not love that would enable you to put them before you. It takes being with to come to know somebody. If all you know about God and Christ, what I teach you, that's just a little. You got to be with Him. And to those that love not the Lord Jesus Christ, anathema. Maranatha. Cursed. Luke 7:41, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Grace, let's stick with the old familiar definition, the unmerited favor of God. Now be gracious. To whom I will be gracious. They had nothing to pay. And Moses was told by God, I'll show you my mercy. Mercy is only for the guilty. You won't ever get to salvation until you become guilty. And goodness in its most notable definition would always be described as that which is expressed to those that do not care about you, to those that have nothing to do with you, or to your enemies. Jesus told them, when you make a feast, I want you to go out. I don't want you to invite your friends. And I don't want you to invite those that have the resources to make a feast and invite you again or back to that. But I want you to go out and find those that don't have. And maybe those that just don't care about you. And I want you to bid those to the feast that when they sit down and eat and leave, that they have not the resources to repay you. I want you to know something about when you sit down to the table, those that can't repay my goodness. And they had nothing to pay. That was you. That is me. And he frankly, that is grace, forgave, that is mercy, and that is goodness. But it could only be expressed to sinners. If there was a daysman, Job 6, I think. If there was a daysman that could put his hand on God and could put his hand on me, could stand between us, the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God could not be expressed to sinners, except there be a suitable sacrifice, except everyone go between. Now listen, if in your heart God is created anew, and if in your heart there is a desire to press on and to know God, then I tell you this assuredly, that there stands before God a perfect substitute. For how can a sinner, poverty stricken, guilty, stand before God in a perfect justification? I can't play without carrying flesh with me. I can't preach without carrying flesh with me. And you can't sit on the pew without carrying flesh. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And yet, you've got to come to God because you are in a body.
And there is such an awareness about you, or should be about you, of your sinfulness. And yet we must press beyond who I really am in Adam. What I really am in Adam. And press on by faith to stand before God in a perfect justification. And this is my only plea. No plea except Jesus. In my hand, no good thing, no good I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. I've got no plea before God except the grace and the mercy and the goodness that flows through the Lord Jesus Christ. If I can see just a tiny glimpse of what He did on Calvary and throughout His life, then I've got a heart that is pursuing Him. God's grace, God's mercy, and God's goodness. And the very justice of God, as laid out in the holy demands of the law of God, are silenced. God in the law tells me to do, and I try and fail every single time. God in the law forbids, and sometimes I do. And I look at that strictness of that law, and it shuts my mouth before God. But then I look to the Lord Jesus who fulfilled, and that silences the wrath of God, that silences the holy and just demands of the of God that's made on every sinner. And I stand there because of grace and mercy and goodness. And I throw out my do-goods. And I throw out my coming to God and something that I did whereby God received me. For if works can be mingled with our salvation, then grace ceases to be grace. Grace and works can no more mingle than oil and water. Now the children do work. I'm not saying that. And the children do run, and the children do strive to find God. We don't look at any of that. We look at Jesus Christ. Can I say a sinner? Not in that He had sin, but He took my sin. And some folk want to make that a legal thing, or God just imputed on His account. But the scriptures say God hath made Him to be sin. And I'm not going to God on any basis other than the shed blood of the Lamb of God and His grace, goodness, and mercy. I don't know if there's any of you here like this. There was a certain woman named Lydia, and listen to the next statement, who worshipped God. Well, she's all right. Whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended
unto the things that Paul spoke. Grace, I don't know about the other women there. I don't know if when Lydia invited those men home with her and fixed them a meal, I don't know if the other women came. I don't know if any of the other are there in glory this day. But I know God had mercy on Lydia and opened her heart to receive of the things of God. Folk, I used to wonder a lot why God wouldn't put an angel, I'm talking about a literal angel, in the pulpit. And why put sinners? God will have, I use the word parrot again, in a pulpit, who tells only what he's read. Or heard. God will put one in the pulpit that knows what he is, knows the pit from which he was dug, knows the rock on which he stands, knows in heart it's all the mercy, grace, and goodness of God. And as one sinner, as maybe McShane said this, as a dying sinner, I preach to dying sinners. So God puts one up that knows about mercy. Old A.W. Tozer, he said the difference between a scribe and a prophet. A scribe tells what he's read, and a prophet tells what he's seen. I have seen Christ hanging, suffering. I have been carried, I guess, there to such depths that I couldn't go any farther. And I said, Lord, you got to let me out of this. I can't handle the sight anymore of his suffering. So as one that knows mercy, I'm telling you, as a sinner to sinner, not a parrot, not a scribe, not an angel, not an angel that is of those that have not sinned against God, I do not stand. But as a guilty sinner in time past in the sight of God that now knows mercy, I stand to tell you, I have seen the grace and the goodness and the mercy of God. Like God told Ezekiel, you go down there, chapter number 3, you go down there, and he said, I went down there and sat down with the people by the river Kibar, and I sat there 7 or 10 days to stun. I sat where God's people sat. I know where you're sitting. I know what you are. You can't tell me that you are this bad of a sinner and think that I am agreeing with you. No. I am a sinner. And I know. But I know mercy. And I know grace. And I know the goodness of God. Not because of something that I've done. but just because God was pleased to bestow it upon me. I trust you. Matthew 13. There is no beauty. And when one sees him, they would desire him. So God said, you want to know me? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to display before your eyes my goodness, graciousness, and mercy. Matthew 13:54. I'm not going to hold you much longer, folks. I know it's a great work to have to sit on the pews for an hour and listen. If you can follow one for the whole hour, you're not in the norm. There's always little birds flocking around, so when the word of God is sown, the seed, they're picking it up. I know it's a labor sitting there. Matthew 13:54. And when he, the Lord Jesus, was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom? They couldn't deny his wisdom, but he didn't get it in their college. And he didn't get it sitting under their doctors. They could not deny that the man had wisdom. But they questioned where he got it. Because they couldn't see God in him. Where'd he get that wisdom and the ability to do the mighty work? They could not say that he was God. So they had to ascribe the power of him doing mighty works to the devil. And to justify their not responding, oh, is not this the carpenter's son? We don't have to pay attention to him. No shame in being a carpenter's son. But God wouldn't send his son in that occupation. He'd be sitting on a throne. Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended. Now, folk, if you will receive this as a Christian, and I say this in much humility, if you hear God on Sunday mornings, you hear him through a sinner. One of you. As great a sinner as you, they were offended. But in every Christian's heart, they would have taken those words and they would have been pure gold, framed in silver. And we hear one that knows about Jesus, and our question to him or them is, saw you him whom my soul loveth? I've missed him for a few days. You know where I can find him? Oh, yeah, I know where you can find him. Go down by the flock. He'll be down there. There's a longing desire in every redeemed soul like Moses. We want to know Him in a greater, fuller, richer knowledge. We want to know the one that God has accepted in our place. We'd like to pay Him a little tribute with the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to Him. Now listen, children, God said, you'll see 1,000 fall at thy hand. We've seen them go. You'll see 10,000 fall by thy right side. But I'm speaking only to the children now. It shall not come nigh thee. Why? Well, I can tell you why if you answer this question. How long does the mercy of God last? Anybody know? Forever. How long will I be needing mercy? Must be forever. 1,000 will fall at thy right, at thy hand. 10,000 by thy side. It'll not come nigh thee. Because once God takes a child into union with His darling Son, grace and mercy. Well, I can go beyond that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll tell you one more time. Flesh, yours and mine, will forever be being flesh. It is not one degree more sanctified today than it was when you met Jesus, ever how many years ago that might have been. It is not one ounce, one iota holier. Well, I don't go where I used to. I don't do like I used to. True. But your flesh will forever be flesh. And God never, ever set out to sanctify our flesh. It's going back to dust. Because it's corrupt. Thank God it will be raised one day, just like it is. Well, I just fear to approach God. I do too. Well, I know I'm such a sinner. I am too. But that's why I need to get there. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And I know some folk, some groups in Baptists, take that and say, it doesn't matter what I do, how I live, you're not under the law, but I promise you this, you're under grace. And grace has an effectual work in the heart. I don't want to sin against God. If I possibly could, I would go from here to the end of my journey without sinning against God. But I can't. You can't. But there is a throne of grace and mercy and goodness. You want to see me? You're going to see me by that which I do, or that is an expression of my person. And keep pulling out all these imaginations that you've got of God. that religion has built up so much, and quit praying to an image. And pray to the one true and living God. For in you have access through Jesus by the Spirit of God. Timothy, come and dismiss us if you would. May the Lord grant you much grace and mercy to follow you this week.